The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org or www.streamglobedevotional.com.
Begin to confess the word of God over your life. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He's the high priest of our confession. You need to confess in order for Jesus to help you. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. I want you to confess that the anointing of God is upon you because that anointing is a yoke-shattering anointing. Father, we give you praise. We worship you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your power that is in our midst. We bless your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. But welcome once again, Bro Yemi. God bless you. If I needed another proof that the Holy Spirit is here, when you started speaking, there was it. Because I don't think that was probably what you planned to talk about from the beginning, but that was all you ended up talking about, which was the word of God, confessing the word of God, confessing the word of God. And that's what I plan to teach on. And I know that there was no way you would have known that was what I planned to teach on, because you were not last week, you weren't around. So when I saw what you were saying, I said, no. This is just evidence that the Holy Spirit is here. We've been looking at the topic on be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Welcome, sir. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me tell you something. The way you will know that you have arrived is if you can preach to your friends. Amen. I'm saying it on a lighter note. When you can preach to your friends and your colleagues in the office, then you will know that you are real. You are not fake. Because if you are fake, your colleagues in the office will not listen to you. And so when I see my colleagues like this and friends here, it's such a comfort to my soul that we are serving God. We are not serving ourselves. We didn't call ourselves to do this work. I assure you, if this was our idea, you know that by every human projection, I would have been doing this live broadcast in my room, in my apartment. I won't come here because we pay for this place, and it's not particularly cheap. But it's because there is a word that God has spoken. And I believe God from experience. See, when God speaks a word, just follow Him. Don't, the devil's job is to distract you. If there's any word, any promise that God has given you, I remember when, remember the story of Abraham. God told Abraham that he was going to be a father of many nations, and for many years, not merely to conceive with his wife, it was a problem. And so, but when you are faithful, and you know, in the Greek and the Hebrew, that word faith and faithfulness is the same word. I am very sure concerning the Hebrew, that word faith, when they say the just shall live by faith, it depends on who is translating it. Because it is the just shall live by faithfulness. Because you cannot separate faith from faithfulness. You can't. Because it is faith that made Abraham faithful. Abraham was faithful to God, even when it didn't look like. But why was he faithful? It was faith. And that's why some translations, if you read Galatians chapter 2, is it verse 20? Some translations say, and in life I have been crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live. He said, but the life I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave his life for me. Some translations will say, by the faithfulness. Because it's the same word. So I say, it depends on who is translating. And when we started Stream Globe, I still remember once there, Stream Globe devotional about, actually started writing devotional in 2012. And it was very reluctant. I was doing it very, very reluctantly because that was not my idea of ministry. My idea of ministry was very different from writing a devotional, I assure you. And I don't want to talk about my idea of ministry. I'm talking about my idea, the way I felt I should execute ministry as a person. But it was also very clear to me that the Lord wanted us to write. So we started writing. And as we started writing, for some time, up until 2014, there was no real encouragement. I remember most of my friends, or if not most, many of my friends blocked me on WhatsApp when I started sharing the devotional to them personally. And that's why till today, even this morning, one of our disciples in Warri, who is to follow the devotional, sent me a message and said, I should please add him to our group, that he no longer gets the devotional. And I said, I gave him the link that he should join. It's very difficult for me to add you to a Stream Globe group. Because when I used to send devotionals to people and all of that, they used to block me. And we continued in that work and kept following the instructions of Jesus. And I still remember how we went from being people that they would be blocking, and people would say, don't disturb me. Even if it's my pastor, even if I'm a Catholic, and even if it's the Pope, I'm quoting one of my friends, that is sending me devotional, I cannot be reading it every day, so don't disturb me. Anytime he wants to message me, he will unblock me. Message me and block me back. Because the only way broadcast list work, if you put somebody on a broadcast list, as long as you send to that broadcast list, you automatically share to them that day. And but we kept being faithful. And all I can tell you is that God has been faithful. God has been faithful. Just last week, one pastor from India called me and said that the Holy Spirit said you should join Stream Globe. He's not the first, not the second, he's not the third, from different countries of the world that will call and say, we want to join this ministry. We want to become team members in our country, representatives. God has been faithful. But you know, if God has cooked you in this work of faith, such things will not excite you. I don't know how to explain it right now, because that's not what I'm talking about. It's just a diversion. Because we're talking about faith, we need to understand the anatomy of faith. Faith does not always start off in an exciting way. It's like a seed. You see all these beautiful trees that are here. If you saw them when they were seed, they didn't look like what they are now. But the only person that can have a tree is the person that has the patience with the seed. And that's how faith is. It's like a mustard seed. But if you are faithful, you will see the faithfulness of God. When somebody called me, one pastor in Bahamas said he wanted me to come and minister in Bahamas. And all of that, it was going to be a wonderful experience. I called our vice president. I said, do you want to go to, who did I even call? Do you want to go to Bahamas? Because I wasn't even interested. Now, if you ask me, because faith has a way of affecting your perception. You know, the Bible says by faith we understand. Because it's not as if I don't want, who does not like to go and preach abroad? It's not as if I knew that it wasn't for me. And God has been faithful. And what I'm telling you, as we start this word encounter, and some challenges along the way, I remember God's faithfulness of yesterday. And the question I ask myself is, is it God that said you should do this thing? Because if it is God, I'm saying this, I'm encouraging somebody who is listening, who is a preacher. If it is God that gave you the instruction, don't give up. Just be faithful. Amen. The problem is that too many people give up too early. Do you know why few are chosen? You see, many are called, but few are chosen. It's because too many people give up. Many people that were called gave up. So they couldn't get to the point where they will be chosen. May we endure in Jesus' name. Faith, confessing the word of God. I was talking to one of my friends. He's the one that was calling me just now. I don't know. He's one reason why I respect him so much. I met him in a very, very, I went for another of my friend's wedding in Jos, and he is a friend to that my friend. And I know he was, first of all, I knew he was very highly educated, very intelligent, a petrochemical engineer. But I saw the kind of humility that he was displaying. So we started talking because he was driving people up and down. And then I realized that this guy was a man of great faith. That is, ha. You know, this Kenneth Hagin, Kenyon, he eats them for breakfast. And just a few days ago, he was telling me about how that is it 14 or 12 years, he has not taken drugs. You think it's easy not to take drugs? He says sometimes for days he will be sick and he will be confessing the word of God. But there is no kind of sickness he has had that Jesus has not healed him of. Because he insisted on the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, as you grow in grace, it will be easier for you to walk in faith. Because what grace does is that grace makes it easy. Grace is like grease. You know, have you seen an engine without grease? It makes it difficult. Grace makes it easy to walk in faith. As you grow in grace. So that when you speak once, it will come to pass. You don't have to speak 15 times or 70 times. And grace is a function of the knowledge. You say, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something from personal experience. The fastest way to know God, you know when they say you know God, it's not about knowing about God. It's just like I say, I know Chibuzo. You know why I know Chibuzo more than you? I know Chibuzo more than you because I've spent more time with him more than you. Abi? I've been to his house. We've spoken for hours. We talk on the phone. We work in the same office. And all of that. If we're in a place and Chibuzo is angry, I will know. Let's say people are talking and he becomes angry, I will know. I didn't know the first time I saw him. I didn't know that. I didn't know how. But the more you spend time with somebody, the more you will know that person. Now, do you know how I know Jesus? You know, one thing I will tell you is this biggest secret of knowing God. Please, I will advise you, be religious about it. Allocate time every day to prayer. Because prayer is talking to God. When you give time for God in prayer, you will know God more. And the more you know God, the more His grace can fill your life. And when His grace fills your life, it will be easy for you to walk in faith. You will decree it in. And because what makes faith difficult is because there is no abundance of grace. Do you think Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth? If He said a word once, how many times did Jesus Christ speak to the fig tree before it dried up? But if you don't have Jesus' measure of grace, you have to endure. You may endure and be persistent in faith for longer. Praise the Lord. But grace is a function of the knowledge of God. So the secret is, please, give God time every day. Even if you say it is 1 hour from 12 midnight to 1, don't break that routine. It is for God, it is for praying in the Spirit. And see whether your faith will not grow. See whether your grace will not multiply. And it will be easy for you to walk in these dividends of faith. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and then we'll jump to verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We've been looking at, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. And the reason why we are admonished to be strong in the Lord is because we are in a warfare. The Bible says that, finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter, if you are there, read it for us, sir. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Go ahead, sir. Put on all of God's armor so that you may be able to stand firm Put on all of God's armor. Why? So that you'll be able to stand what? Firm against what? All strategies of the devil. Do you know why you should put on all, not some of God's armor? It's so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategy. The devil is a strategist. He's a super strategist. And we said the other time that what the devil has is strategies, his wiles, his schemes. My translation says schemes of the devil. But the reason why you should put on all of God's armor is so that you'll be able to stand firm, strong, against all strategies of the devil. And for those of us who are following online, we have been teaching on this for a number of weeks now, and the sermons are on our website. Go to the sermon page, you will download them. Be strong in the Lord, part 1, part 2, part 3. This is part 4. Because we have been looking at all of this armor. We looked at first and foremost, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? We now went ahead to begin to examine the armor one by one. We saw the belt of truth. That was the first that was mentioned. This wasn't a coincidence. We saw the body armor or the breastplate of righteousness. We saw the shield of faith. We saw the helmet of salvation. We saw the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. I think that came much earlier. We saw then the last one that was mentioned is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And we have looked at all of that. We looked at the shield of faith last week. We looked at how to use the shield of faith. And we started looking at how to use the sword of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, of all of the armor that were mentioned, the only one that is not defensive in nature is the sword of the Spirit. It is for attack. Every other armor, you notice, it is to defend you. But there is only one that is mentioned that is for attack. And because it is very sufficient for attack. And so you don't need to, it is called the sword of the Spirit. And one of the things I said last week, I would love for us to get that sermon, is that you cannot wield the same way you use the shield of faith. The way you use the shield of faith is similar to the way you use the sword of the Spirit. Because the shield of faith is, the way you use the, you take up the shield of faith is by confessing the word of God and by acting in accordance to faith. And we saw that one of the most express works of faith or actions of faith is confession. So just we say to his disciples, say, if you say to this mountain, if you believe, say to this mountain, be thou moved, and you receive what you have said. What you say is should be a function. What you confess is a function of what you believe. And it is not faith until there is some action to it. Faith without action is dead. So we saw that there are a number of ways we take up the shield of faith. One of the most express ways is by confessing the word of God against the fiery. Because what does the shield of faith does? It defends you against the fiery darts of the devil. What are the fiery darts of the devil? They have different manifestations. One of the easiest ones we can talk about now is fear. When the devil sends a thought, it could be a dream, to put you in a place of fear and frustration. Then, temptations, sins. Remember, the Bible says what the devil has is wiles. If, for example, fear can enter your heart, it is usually a precursor to some of the terrible things that the devil wants to do, like sickness and disease. But it will begin by fear. And how do you defend yourself against the fiery dart of the devil? It's by taking up the shield of faith. So, for example, those thoughts begin to come. Don't keep quiet. Don't resist it just in your heart. Speak the word of God to attack it. When temptations begin to come, don't resist temptation just in your heart. Learn from Jesus. When the devil tempted Jesus, turn stones to bread, bow down and worship me, fall down. Did Jesus keep quiet? Did he not open his mouth and speak the word of God? That's how you overcome. That's how you take the shield of faith against the very darts of the devil. Even concerning temptation, you speak the word of God against that temptation. And you discover that that's how you quench, as the scripture says, those darts. So don't just think, don't just resist those thoughts. When those thoughts of fear, they will say that, You will be poor. You know, in this part of the world, one thing we fear is poverty. Poverty is not good, though. No, it's not even a prayer, but let me just pray. Nobody under the sound of my voice will suffer from poverty. In any way, any flavor of poverty. In Jesus' name. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. One of the major solution to poverty is the gospel. And I'm not just talking about physical poverty, because that thing called poverty is actually spiritual. That's why, see, let me just take this digression, just in a short digression. That thing called poverty is more spiritual than physical. The problem of the black man, why we are poor, you know, Nigeria is a very poor country. We know that Nigeria, all of us here know, because we are all enlightened people, that if you bring Americans, those white people, bring them here, put them here for 10 years, for 20 years, and carry us there and go back there. In 10 years and 20 years time, we want to come back here. You know that everybody wants to go to America. Bring those same people. You see that the problem is not that our land is not blessed. The problem is not that we don't have resources. The problem is with the people. And you know that people are spirit beings. Poverty is spiritual. If you give a man that his capacity is no more than 1,000 naira, 100,000 naira, give him a couple of days, that 100,000 will reduce back to 1,000 naira. If you give a man that his capacity is 10,000 naira, give him 1,000 naira, give him some time, that 1,000 naira will become 10,000 naira. Give him that 10,000 naira, give him time to become 100,000. Poverty and prosperity is spiritual. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says that the gospel is preached to the poor. Spiritual, though. If you don't know that, you need to first of all understand that. That's the reason why they do blood money. If poverty is not spiritual, why does blood money work? And I know we watch a lot of Nigerian film. I assure you, blood money does not work most of the time by people vomiting money. What happens when people go and do those things is that spiritual, you know, the devil is a negotiator. That spiritual problem that made his grandfather and his father in him poor. The demons, those demons that are responsible, they will excuse him. And then they will release demons because the devil, there's a counterfeit for most of the things that they will release demons of prosperity into that person's life. In Yoruba, they call that spirit Aje, the god of wealth. And then that same person that was, every door was shut. He applies for a contract, it won't come. He does something, it will not work. He cultivates, it will not do well. That same person, everything he touches becomes gold because of Aji, a demon. They have removed the demons of poverty and they have allowed in the demons of privilege. But you know the difference? You see, the Bible says it is the blessing of God that maketh rich and he adds no. So if the devil gives, the devil does not love anybody. If the devil makes you rich, he will add many sorrows. You will be pierced with many troubles. And the truth is that the reason why you wanted to be rich in the first place was because you wanted to be happy. You wanted to have joy. Think about why do you want to have money? It's not because you want to have peace of mind. It's not because you want to have joy. Then the devil will now give people money and now take away their joy and take away. It's so sad. Praise the Lord. So we say, let's go back to our study. Because time is not long. We don't have much time. Somebody has rebuked me that I used to preach for too long. That person knows himself. Amen. All right. So we have the shield of faith. So how do we take up the shield of faith? Remember, it is by acting in accordance to faith. How do we take up the shield of faith? It is by acting in accordance to faith. One of the easiest ways to act in accordance to faith is to speak in accordance to faith. The power of life and death is in the tongue. One of the easiest ways to act in accordance to faith is to speak in accordance to faith. But it doesn't end there. Prayer is an act of faith. You know why prayer is an act of faith? Because you are not seeing God physically. You see, he that comes to God must believe that God is, God exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One of the express acts of faith is prayer. Especially when you are taking real time to pray. You know, if you are praying in a way in which, even if you don't pray, it doesn't affect your schedule, that your prayer is very weak. But when you are now taking time off other things that you would have done to benefit your body, to pray, it speaks louder in the realm of the spirit, because it has become a real act of faith. You wouldn't take 1 hour every day to talk to a God that you don't believe exists. You understand? God, if you know what sin did to us as human beings, we need faith. We need to keep walking in faith in order to please God. You don't know that the biggest warfare, as you were saying, the biggest warfare against you and me is faith. It's the warfare of faith. That's why the Bible says, fight the fight of faith. When attacks are coming, what the devil is aiming for is your faith. And when a man has had a shipwreck of faith, the major sign is that you see that same man who used to come to church before will say, he doesn't believe in God again. He's beginning to doubt the existence of God. This thing you have that you don't have a doubt in your heart that God is real is a gift. It's a precious gift. And it's only those that have this faith that we inherit eternal life. And we have seen, we know what faith can do. Faith moves literal mountains. Faith, without faith, you cannot receive anything from God. So another act of faith is praying. Another act of faith is fasting. You will not deprive yourself of food, your precious food, for a God that you don't believe exists. And that's why whenever you pray and you fast, you move the hand of heaven faster, because it is an act that pleases God. Remember that faith pleases God. The Bible says Abraham believed and it was accounted. Thank you. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. So we've talked about how to use the word of God as a shield. How to use the word of God as a shield. The next time the devil comes to give you thoughts and imaginations of fear and anxiety, begin to tell you, paint a picture of life that is really scary. I say, this is how you end up. How many of us have ever been there? Because I've been there. In fact, there was a time I had a dream. I say, hey, let me tell you something. Okay, it's too personal because we are streaming live. Don't just think about it. Fight it. Be deliberate. Speak the word of God against those things. Say, this is what God says for me. I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. Say, I shall not die, but live and declare. I still remember there was a time I was about to travel, and the devil, I had a vision, that terrible vision of terrible things that happened on the journey last year. I said, it's a lie. This journey, I will go for this journey. And I will not die. I will not have an accident. Praise the Lord. The devil is you fight. Spiritual warfare is real. This morning I had a phone call. It was, you know, I think what I'll be doing on Saturday mornings, whenever I'm ministering, I'll be putting off my phone. I had a phone call and I heard about a very sad news. A family, they lost their father and their mother this year. They lost their mother earlier, and just recently they lost their father. And as soon as I heard that story, I knew instantly that this is a spiritual attack. I knew. Because I had prayed, I had gone to pray in that house, in that family before. So I knew instantly this is a spiritual attack. The devil is not your friend. And if you do not know how to wage warfare, there will be unnecessary casualties, unnecessary pain that is not necessary, that you needn't not go through just because you didn't know how to wage warfare. Remember I was telling you the other time that me like this that you are seeing, I'm a civil engineer by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Not because God gave me intelligence, I know. But it's not because I'm intelligent. It's because of the mercy of God. Because when I began to face, I told you people the other day, I said, if I did not know how to do spiritual warfare, I would have not graduated from the university. It's not everybody that faces that kind of attack, because I didn't face that kind of attack earlier on when I was in school. But when I began to face attacks, I wouldn't have graduated. Why I graduated, I am convinced, as I am convinced that I'm a human being standing in your front, that the reason why I graduated was because God taught me how to do spiritual warfare. If you don't The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. What happens if you don't resist the devil? He will not flee. It was believers who was telling to resist the devil. Because if you don't know how to resist the devil. So that's why we are studying on spiritual warfare. And I'm not saying you should be paranoid or be living in fear. No. Jesus has given us the victory. So you don't fight from hoping to win. You fight from an assurance that you are a conqueror. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the sword of the Spirit. Because one of the ways to ensure that you are not getting unnecessary assaults, today you will sleep, you will dream. Satan will send one attack. You fight it for 3 days. You overcome. The next attack may come in form of sickness. You fight it. The next attack may be an attack against your relationship, especially for married people. You fight it, you have victory. The next attack may be against your business. The devil is always trying to attack something. Just to stabilize you. But you know the surest way to keep yourself from consistent attacks is you be on the attack. Stop being on the defensive. And there is one weapon that we have been given to be on the attack. It is the sword of the Spirit. But how do we use the sword of the Spirit? Because I've told us how to use the word of God as a shield. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do we use the sword of the Spirit? How do we use the word of God as an attack weapon? Let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. King James, New English Translation says, for the word of God is living and active. And sharper than any double-edged sword. When we started this study, I was explaining to you how the Bible uses metaphors to describe spiritual reality. It's because the closest thing to use to describe the word of God in the realm of the spirit is sword. That's why we see this word of God. But the word of God is actually sharper than any sword that you can imagine. Praise the Lord. He said, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit and joints from marrow. It is also able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart. No creature, say no creature, is hidden from God. Let me tell you what that phrase means. You see that thing, that word of God I just described. There is no creature that it does not have effect on. Whether principality or power, whether human beings, whether inanimate things, the word of God. Because everything that exists is a product of the word of God. No creature can escape its power. But do you notice that the first application of the word of God is not against your enemies, it's on you. The first application of the word of God, because in order for you to take the sword of the Spirit, to wield the sword of the Spirit, the word of God must have done some dividing in you. I wrote something now. It says, the word of God can only be powerful through you if it is powerful in you. The word of God can only be powerful through you. You can only have a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Let me tell you, the biggest warfare you are going to fight is not warfare against your enemy. It's warfare against the flesh. That's why before the Bible started talking about spiritual warfare, the Bible talked about conduct in Ephesians. From Ephesians chapter 3, 4, 5, it was talking about Christian conduct. Before I now say, finally, brethren, be strong. And they started talking about warfare. Our warfare, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. The word of God is our attack weapon. But the only way the word of God can be an attack weapon in your hand is if the word of God has been able to successfully work in you and cut out things in you. The word of God can only pierce, can cut the enemy asunder If it has already, if it has worked in you, it is, it has successfully done surgery in you. Let me bring it home. Not long ago, I was listening to a sermon by Derek Prince, and he was talking about the fear of the Lord. And he was talking about how that the reason the Bible said in Hebrews that God heard Jesus' prayer because Jesus feared God. Do you know that is in the Bible? How that the Bible says, and he was just reading so many scriptures about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, how God defends those that fear him. And he was talking about what does it mean to fear God? He was talking about how that your heart must be perfect to God. There are some things that as we are sitting down here, are there some things that you don't do because the word of God has said you shouldn't do such things? Because if the word of God can be powerful in your life like that, the word of God can be powerful through you. You cannot avenge disobedience outside. You cannot avenge demons. You cannot attack demons with the word of God if the word of God has not been able to purge you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when I was listening to that sermon about the fear of God, I started looking at my life. And I started making adjustments again in my life. I started ensuring that I live a life that is in keeping with fearing God. It was a word that I heard that I made up my mind that this matter of integrity, I will be a person of integrity. I will not be a believer that tells small, small lies and that tells big, big lies. Even if it means I will go through temporary inconvenience. It is the word of God. It is the word of God that will affect the way you handle your money. It is because of the word of God. That I know believers that they're very smart, they know how to do sharp practices. And those sharp practices are making them a lot of money. But when the word of God came with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even though these sharp practices was making them a lot of money, I'm thinking about somebody right now. They were willing to let go of it and let go of a lot of money because of the word of God. If the word of God can pierce asunder, you know, let me explain this to you. You know, as you are sitting down here now, if I say, what is your mind is talking to you, your spirit is talking to you. You know, the spirit of God, the Bible says, he that is of Christ is one spirit with Christ. So what happened is that the part of you that is with God now, that is of God now, is your spirit. Your soul is being transformed to become, to have, so that you have the mind of Christ. And your body will ultimately be changed to a spiritual body, which is of God. Remember, God is spirit. And that's why the Bible will tell us that walk in the spirit and don't walk in the flesh. Because as you walk in the spirit, you are walking in alignment with God. As you walk in the flesh, you are walking in alignment with the devil. Now, there are many thoughts that come to your heart. And many of them are coming from your soul. Your soul is the voice of your mind. Your soul is the voice of your body. Your conscience, as they say, is the voice of your spirit. How can you divide between the thoughts that are coming from your fleshly soul and your born again spirit? Because they are so mixed together. Your soul and your spirit is so joined together that the only thing that can separate them is the word of God. And this has a very simple, simple application. A very, very simple application. Somebody woke up one day and said that the Holy Spirit is leading her to marry a man, and that man is married, and she felt there was all the feeling of the Holy Spirit leading me, was the Holy Spirit leading me. You know that she will know that that thing didn't come from the Holy Spirit if she knows the Word of God. The Word of God will divide it. Simple application. You don't need to pray in tongues to know whether God wants you to steal, to take money that is not your money. Even though if you take it, nobody will know. You don't need the voice of the Holy. That Holy Spirit that is telling you is not the Holy Spirit. How you will know? How you will separate flesh from spirit, soul from spirit, is the Word of God. Thank you, sir. He said, to the piercing and asunder of what? Soul and spirit. That's how powerful the Word of God is. There are some things that God joined together. The only thing that can put it asunder is the Word of God. There is no power in creation that can put asunder the things that the Word of God puts together, except the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the Word of God will begin to refine your life. And as the Word of God begins to influence your decisions, change your worldview, that sword is now activated in your life. If that sword is not activated in your life, you can't use it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Can you read this for us? And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. That's a spiritual principle. Having a readiness to avenge every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So you are able to success. Do you know why there are some people that say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the demons will still be attacking them. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And some other people, they will say Jesus once and the demons will run away. It is the way they have, it is the way that, you see, if Jesus is not Lord over your life, he cannot be Lord through you. If Jesus is not Lord in your life, you remember it says, this sign shall follow they that believe in my name. What did they believe? That Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God come in the flesh. And they confess him as Lord. He said, with the heart we believe unto righteousness and with the mouth we confess unto. He said, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. So what happened is that Jesus, the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that for a believer, Jesus is his Lord. And that's why a believer, when you come into the family of God, you repent. Because everything in your life that Jesus did not allow, you stop doing it. And if that has become the case in your life, that name Jesus will be powerful in your mouth. Because that name Jesus has changed. It is because of that name Jesus that maybe there was one, praise the Lord. Because of that name Jesus that you stopped lying. It's because of that name Jesus that you stopped stealing. It's because of that name Jesus that you stopped immorality. It's because of that name Jesus. Because of that name Jesus. So that name is now powerful in your life. The next time you tell a demon, come out in Jesus' name. The demon, you know why? Because that name Jesus is powerful in your life first. So it can be powerful through your life. There are many people that say, Jesus, Jesus, it doesn't mean anything. There's no power. You know why? The name is not powerful in their life. Even though they come to church and lift up their hands, but they still lie, they still steal, they still live in immorality. Can Jesus be your Lord and you'll be doing those things? If the name of Jesus is powerful in your life, if Jesus' authority is strong in your life, there are many things you will not be able to do. And it is only when you have come to that point where there are many things you are unable to do because Jesus is Lord in your life, that power of his name will manifest through your life. Praise the Lord. So the way you can wield the sword of the Spirit, you can only wield the sword of the Spirit when the sword of the Spirit has been activated in your life. And that is why believers who are not strict, they had better pray plenty. And the fact that they pray plenty does not guarantee them, they are always going from one attack to another. I'm not telling you, I have seen believers. They can pray. Oh God, they can pray. Every night is night vigil. But yet, we don't pray. Actually, I will pray more than them. Let us not sound sanctimonious. But we don't, the way we pray, we don't carry it on our head the way they carry it on their head. But then there are believers that don't pray as much as they pray. And they don't see half of the attacks that they see because their lives are straight. So when they feel a headache and they say, Father, this headache, go in Jesus' name. And they will even forget about it. It's later in the evening, they remember they had a headache in the morning. Because that go in Jesus' name worked. You know why it worked? Because that name Jesus is an authority name in their lives. But for a believer that is so, his life is inundated with compromises. He will pray. Remember how we started? That grace makes faith easy. Some people pray. And see, the Bible says pray without ceasing. You see, let me tell you something. You will need to pray without ceasing. But your prayer without ceasing, if you understand the gospel, is not against your enemy. Your prayer without ceasing is about fellowship with God. And it's about fixing yourself. It's not about attacking your enemy. It's about attacking the enemy that is within you. When David was saying, was it in Psalm 127, that I hate them with pure hatred? If you read that, please, I don't understand. You think he was talking about the enemies that were outside. He was talking about, he said, search me and see if there's any evil thing in me. He was talking about the thoughts of his heart. The enemy within. I used to tell believers, I say, you do prayer and fasting if you know an enemy is attacking you, but you don't do prayer and fasting against the lust in your heart. If you do prayer and fasting against the lust in your heart, the way you do prayer and fasting against the enemy that you felt was attacking you, you will look for the lust, you will not find it. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. So, in order for the word of God to be powerful in our mouths, those two double-edged swords in our hand, the word of God must first of all be powerful inside our lives. The first application of the word of God is in your life. Because the enemy, the biggest enemy that you have is not the devil, it is sin. The reason why the devil has power in your life, in any human being's life, is because of sin. So you take that sword and use it to attack sin. Use it to attack temptation. If we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. Because as you are exposed to the truth of God's word, it begins to show you your pride. Just this morning, some thoughts were coming to me. Was this morning or last night? Some thoughts were coming to my heart and I said, Jesus, this thought looks like I want to serve God. I said, for Father, this thought is pride. This thing is pride. Kill it. This thing is pride. You can pray that prayer for 1 hour, attacking and addressing the pride in your heart. Oh, how about lust? How about greed? Greed is one thing that believers don't know is a sin. Whereas there are two sins that the Bible says it should never be once mentioned among us. The first is immorality, and the second is covetousness or greed. You know what covetousness is? You know, there are some things I said I will stop saying. And there was a place I was, and people were just saying that, and I was fighting it. You know what it is? Money is good. I know all of us here are guilty of that phrase. Money is good. Do you know what Jesus Christ said? Jesus said there is none good except God. And it's, you know, of course, you know what we mean when we say money is good. Are you kidding me? Money answereth all things. At least that's the Bible. You cannot be wrong quoting the Bible, right? But you know, the reason why I first of all had one of my mentors say that he made up his mind he would stop saying using that phrase, is because there are some phrases that give expression to the spirit of covetousness. Let me tell you something, child of God. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. If God has not conquered you change your mentality about money, he cannot bless you with money. You can go and bless you. There are other channels of blessing. But the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he hath no sorrow. Do you remember that before God blessed Solomon, God asked Solomon that anything, the Lord appeared to him, you want me to do for you? What did Solomon ask for? He asked for money. But did God not bless Solomon with money? God blessed him with money more than any other human being in his time. Because it's only those that their affection have been taken away from money that God can bless with money. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, many times, if you are running after something too much, the thing will be doing guy for you. There are some people that if you overlike them, for those of us who are searching, getting married, you are always disturbing them. They are the ones that will be doing guy. But when you just draw back a little bit, do I have a witness in the house? In fact, let me tell you something about wisdom. One of the things that the Holy Spirit has taught me in wisdom is that don't allow anything to obsess. Don't be obsessed with anything. If you're obsessed with something too much, the tendency of it running away from you is higher than if you are not obsessed with it. Praise the Lord. In this world, people are more willing to give you something if you don't need it than when you desperately need it. I don't know why this world is like that. Go and try and collect a bank loan. All the bank needs you to do is to prove to them that you don't need the loan. And then they will give you the loan. How do you prove to them that you don't need the loan? They will tell you to go and bring a property worth 10 times the value of the loan that you are looking for. They will tell you to go and bring assets. When they see that, this man, they will say, yeah, he's worth the money they'll give. But for the man that desperately needs that loan, they won't give him. You just walk into the bank and ask for a loan of 3 billion. Sorry, I'm not downgrading you, but I just assume that you don't have assets worth 3 billion right now, but you will have very soon in Jesus' name. Just walk into the bank and go and ask them for a loan of 3 billion. go to the account officer, go to the relationships officer, investment officer, and say you are looking for a loan of 3 billion. They will look at you and say, they will look at the car you brought. And God help you if you didn't bring a car. Or God help you, maybe you brought a car, like this is my car here, and you're going to ask for a loan of 3 billion. They look at your shoe. You're wearing a very nice shoe. They look at your shoe, they look at your wristwatch. Before they will even have that discussion with you. But let's say you came with a driver, with a G-Wagon outside. The perfume that is smelling from your body itself is the perfume. You know there are some perfumes that say, I am over 100,000. The smell alone. The wristwatch in your hand is worth 350,000. They know it's a Rolex, whatever. I'm not a wristwatch fan. It's recently as they're having to buy good wristwatches. One of my friends entered my car and saw my wristwatch and said, you are not supposed to be using this kind of wristwatch. I said, okay. All right, sir. I will start buying good wristwatches now. And then you talk about it. You say, okay, Oga, let's see what we can do. That is this life. You want God to bless you in a way? Seek God. Don't seek that thing. Amen. Sorry. Amen. Now, we're going to read this and we're going to end on this note because we are leaving here by 1 o'clock. Amen? It's 12:47. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. First and foremost, I need you to realize that when this letter was written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was about 400 years ago, thereabouts, that one bishop decided to segment the Bible into chapters, and another bishop decided to perfect that first bishop's work by putting verses in the Bible. And sometimes these verses and chapters have caused a lot of confusion. Because this thing was not written. Now, so let's just read it together. Assume that there were no verses in between. I'm reading verse 17 and verse 18. And take up, no, read verse 17 and verse 18 together. Yes.
Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers.
Thank you. Now let me read from King James, because that translation, it looks as if they considered verses in their translating it. It says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now if you read this from King James, it looks as if one of the ways you take up the sword of the Spirit is by what? Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the... And that's true. Because when the word of God has been effective in your life, in order for it to be effective against your enemies, you have to pray. You want to put the enemy to flight? You must be a person of prayer always. Praying always with all prayer. I like the way NIV puts it. It says with all kinds of prayer, because there are different kinds of prayers. And supplication. How? In the Spirit. Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer, every kind of prayer. There are some prayers that you pray kneeling. Because that's the only reasonable posture to take when you are praying that prayer. There are some prayers that you pray raising your hand. That time you finished teaching, you took the charge, and were praying. I just couldn't, my spirit just couldn't, you notice I knelt down. Because that prayer I was praying, my spirit couldn't pray it standing up or sitting down. That's why I knelt down. It was a kind of prayer. It's different from when you are speaking to a mountain or you are casting out a demon. You really cast out a demon kneeling down. But when you are making supplication to God, you kneel down. You need to understand that in order for you to be effective in all of the armor of God and in warfare, you must understand that there are different kinds of prayer and you must pray different kinds. He said, praying always with all kinds of prayer. So, we would have started looking at what are the different kinds of prayers, but we don't have time. But it also says, and supplication in the Spirit. What is a supplication? A supplication is a plea. There are many believers that do not realize that it's not everything that is you do declaration of faith. There are some things that in order for them to be done, you must understand supplication. And who are you begging? You're not begging demons, so please don't try it. You're not begging, you are begging God, the Father. You are pleading. For somebody, you are pleading for a situation. The reason is because if it is God that is responsible for a problem, it's only you cannot use gra-gra to get that problem out of the way. The Bible says, how the Lord anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, in that verse, do you realize that if a person's affliction came from God. For example, if Jesus had met Naaman, you remember Naaman that was afflicted, that a judgment of God came upon him. Jesus will not heal that man with that anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that thing didn't come from the devil. That many problems that you are seeing, it didn't come from the devil. They are judgments of God. He says, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. And there was a person that the reason why he's suffering the affliction in his life is because he has purposedly for a long time dishonored his parents. You now meet that situation, you now want to do gra-gra. Come out in Jesus' name. You will think you are not anointed. But when you have discerning of spirit, you say, Father, please, this matter. Ananias, let's say when Ananias and Sapphira were, maybe the judgment of Ananias and Sapphira was not instant death, but it was an affliction, and then they became very sick. They had cancer. They now called Pastor Abraham to come and pray. You think it is by saying, you spirit of infirmity, come out, that thing will leave? The only thing that will solve that matter is supplication. You know what supplication is? I've been in a situation where somebody offended somebody. Let's say a woman has a house girl. The house girl is very rude. And the woman decides that today this house girl is leaving. And then the house girl begins to cry and beg. But the woman has made up her mind that the house girl is leaving. But you now show up and you are friends. You are a family friend. And then you now begin to beg for the house girl. And the only reason why the woman allowed the house girl to stay is not because of the house girl's cry. It's because of your begging. That spiritual principle is very, very real. That's why we are priests. There are many things that happen in the world that are not necessarily because of the devil. They are products of the judgment of God. Do you remember what Abraham was doing for Sodom and Gomorrah? That's supplication. Because there are some things that are happening in some territories that it is not about going, let us bind the enemy. It is no enemy. I know they have told, there have been some teachings that have gone around. I don't know where those teachings come from. That God does not do bad. It's only the devil that does bad. I don't know. You know, the problem is that people don't read their Bibles. Because there are some things they cannot tell you and you will believe if you have read your Bible. That God does not do anything. It's only the devil. As if armed robbers are coming to a house and there are gate men that have AK-47 that could have stopped the armed robbers and they refuse to stop the armed robbers and allow the armed robbers to enter, who will you blame? The gate men. Is there anything that can happen to you without God's knowledge? If God does not permit some things, can they happen? Do you realize why many times when a believer is facing some challenges, the first person you face is God? And go and plead and say, Father, what have I done? What is wrong? When you are sure that this one, because there are sometimes that God allows temptations to come your way, and the reason is, the purpose of that temptation is to teach you to war so that you'll be strong. The Bible says, consider it all joy. Count it all joy when you face various trials and temptations. It says, because the trial of your faith worketh patience or endurance, and endurance will make you perfect or mature. If you're a believer, you have never faced a challenge, the chance that you will not be mature. So there are some battles that God will allow you to fight. Why do you think God allowed that the boat that Jesus was sleeping in, there was a storm? You think the angels of God were asleep? You think the angels of God that stopped the storm couldn't have stopped it from happening in the first place? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that the fact that some of you are praying that, Lord, I don't want to ever face any challenge. Let me tell you something. The prayer I should be praying is that, Lord, I want to know you more. Because when you know Jesus and the life of God is, you know, challenge can overcome you. And of course, the challenges are not, it's not as if you are going to be living from one challenge, one attack to another. That one is not the will of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have to close now. So we talk about pray with all prayer and supplication in this. I didn't believe that I could do all of this teaching in just 1 hour because I've said a lot of things in just 1 hour. I think I know it's the Holy Spirit. But my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will bring these words to our remembrance. Remember where we started from? We're talking about the nature of faith, how to use the shield of faith. I'm talking about how the sword of the Spirit is your attack weak point. If you are putting the devil to flight, if you are the one on the attack, you will be less in the defensive. It's the devil and demons that will be worrying about you. It's not that you that will be worrying about the next attack that they are bringing your way. I want us to pray that God will empower us. The word of God will be active in our lives. And then it will be active through us. Demons will hear our name and they will run away. They will hear our names and they will run away. They will hear that we are going to stay in an environment and they will leave that environment because we are coming around. Because they know that we are wielders of a deadly sword. That sword is all over the place when we are around. And the reason is because that sword has been able to do its work in our life. It's called the sword of the Spirit. Lord, let my life be yielded to your word. I want to live a fruitful life. Empower me by your Spirit. Empower me, Lord. Deliver me from unnecessary attacks. Fill me with grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mashalale kabozozobole de tebalian katelebosilianis. Mashe katabalale bozozobole de teboni katabolile lebosizibole de bolis. Je ketebalale de bozozobole katabalale de bosizobole katabalanis. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ask that your heart will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Your life will never remain the same again. The presence of the Lord is in this place. The power of the Lord is in this place. Lord, let me be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask that you be delivered from every spirit of unbelief and distraction. The spirit of unbelief and distraction may hinder our ability to participate, to partake in the divine nature, in the things of God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us by your spirit with might in the inner man. Deliver us, Lord, from the manipulations of darkness. Help us take up the whole armor, that we may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Let us thank him for this year. This is the last Word Encounter meeting for the year 2020. Let's thank him for this year. This year may not be how you planned it. This was not the way I planned this year. But I assure you, it is not the way the devil planned it. If the devil had his way, you would not be able to be here right now. You will not be able to be here right now. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for daily loading us with benefits. Thank you for daily loading us with benefits. Thank you for this year. The Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Is there any question or comment before we leave? Question or comment? We are supposed to have taken that earlier before we pray. All right, let's commit this holiday season to the hand of the Lord. Let's ask for protection, guidance. Some of us will be traveling, journey masses, not just for us, for our family members, our loved ones. You see, there are people that if anything happens to them, it will affect us. It will affect us seriously. And those people need to enjoy the protection of God. Not for their sakes alone, but for our sakes. Lord, we ask that you keep our friends, our family members, our loved ones safe. Safe from harm and danger. Safe from harm and danger. As people travel this season, move around, let there be journey masses. No plane crashes. No road accidents. In the name of Jesus. Journey masses. For people as they travel all around the world, even during this season. Lord, journey masses, journey masses, journey masses. Protection from evil and diseases. This is a time when there is going to be more interactions, more mingling. People traveling to their family. Nobody will go and bring corona. Nobody will go and contract strange diseases. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that wasted at noonday. Now speak the word of God over your life. Speak the word of prosperity, the word of power, the word of wisdom. Say, I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruits in due season. My leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Please confess that word over your life. I bring forth my fruits in due season. My leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruits in due season. My leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. I am of God, and I have overcome them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, living Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, eternal Father. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name,